show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving a name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Nathan? Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Wednesday, March 12th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, once again to C.A. Nuri, as we have a Man Down Mashup Wednesday, when we combine both Green Green with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and where we analyze the news. Today, we were earlier with Aaron Show, we were talking about immigration. We're going to not sideline, because I want to continue the conversation, but there are some certain things that is trending in the news that has something to do with immigration. And I want to include that in the conversation because I saw the director of communication, I'm not sure if Aaron got to read that story as yet, make a statement about the U.S. policy. We had a caller who called the other day, I think that was Monday maybe, when he mentioned, is the Bahamas concerned or should the Bahamas be concerned about this proposed U.S. policy of revoking officials' visas?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's now an official thing, or one of the Caribbean nations, at least one, has received a request to discontinue their relations with Haiti in terms of education and medical, whatever it is. As yet, the Bahamas has had no sort of communication. And like I said before, I don't like the last time we, as a nation, responded to something that no official communication came out. We found out that no, that was the news was aired and that we responded when no official correspondence was sent to us. So I believe our authorities are waiting now to see if the U.S. will issue a statement. I think CARICOM more likely will answer in regards to that. Isn't our prime minister still the chair of CARICOM? No?
No, I don't think he's the chair at the moment. I'm going to search that up.
Or the chair is now the Barbados division.
No, I don't think me is the chair either. Last time I checked, I think Guyana was the chair.
Okay. I know they tend to rotate it.
Yeah, every 2 to 3 years. Who's the current head of the CARICOM secretariat?
Yeah.
So the secretary general is Carla Barnett.
I haven't even heard that name.
All right, hold on.
So more like she went...
Belize.
I'm assuming all of the foreign affairs ministers throughout the Caribbean should come together to form an official statement from CARICOM. And the Bahamas will join that. And of course, they will subsequently issue a statement based on our needs from our foreign affairs, or if not the foreign affairs minister, the prime minister himself, in regards to that. Because we do have Cuban nurses. We do have Cuban teachers, for sure, in the Bahamas, and now we must understand how does that impact us. And I think the United States is
concern about illegal, not even, what do you call it, when they're taken advantage of? Exploitation of Cuban citizens. So this is the cry that they're making, so that they are, the workers who the Cubans are sending out are being exploited by their government. Therefore, they are trying to out that out, right? And that's reasonable. We just need to understand or appreciate
what it is. My thing is, I would hope that before the U.S. sanctions any CARICOM state or applies like a punitive policy to any CARICOM state diplomat or government actor, that they would look inward internally.
Are you sure United States look inward all the time?
And sanction the states that continue to trade with Cuba under a federal embargo.
They have U.S. states that trade with Cuba still?
Yes.
I know people like Canada and United Kingdom and Germany tend to trade with Cuba. I didn't realize that there's interaction. I think
throughout the entire embargo, throughout the entire federal embargo, individual states have maintained trade with Cuba.
Let's talk about exploitation and immigration as one of the topics today. There are a number of first generation, second generation millionaires, I'm talking broad in terms of migrants, right, who got their wealth by exploiting their own people. There are a number, and I go back, going back to the Haitian Bahamians, right, who there are Bahamians of Haitian descent who own cleaning business, right, who seek contracts, large contracts, be it government or private, and they pay below minimum wage to their own people. They do have construction companies where they bid and get government contracts and private contracts, big contracts, and they seek their own people and pay them the bare minimum, not going to minimum wage, and they exploit their own people, not paying no NIB, but exploitation of their own people, and they have now become millionaires or come to a millionaire status. Upper middle class status in the Bahamas. We see it in tourism, where they have them on a Bay Street soliciting, saying, bring the tourists to this particular restaurant. We see that at Fish Fry. We see it throughout the Bahamas, where the second generation of Bahamians, from Haitian extract for this particular matter, are now taking advantage of that first generation of Haitian migrants who came here. And I want to know if that is the norm. And I want to have that juxtaposed to, again, speaking about the Minister of Foreign Affairs. We need, in particular, Haitian labor, right? And that we haven't created a system to employ them, to transition them, but have that it seems to be a wink-wink nodding head that we will bypass any type of regularization process. And I give this example. There is a, let me see how I guess put this, a hairdressing business, a big time hairdressing business which makes tens of thousands of dollars because it's one of the better ones in the Bahamas, who employ Haitian labor, not Haitian Bahamian labor. I'm trying to make a distinction. And all this time, I'm still trying to make the distinction that there's such thing as Haitian labor and there's such thing as Haitian Bahamian labor, people who are born in the Bahamas who are in that transitional phase. I'm talking about Haitian labor who do not have status. This particular hairdresser are multi-millionaires. And I believe they're exploiting their people. And I'm trying to say we have a duty of care, the government, the people of the Bahamas, to say even though that's your people, them, we can't have you paying the minimum wage because we have a minimum wage standard. We can't have you not paying national insurance for them because we have a national insurance law. We can't have you have them living in shanty towns because we have laws against that, even though that's your people, right? And that's a conversation we also need to have, especially when our government, you see our government doing raids of the business, right? They come to the place and raid them 2, 3, 4 times. Right, we know that the business itself are facilitating illegal migration or some sort. However, the business is allowed to continue to operate. That means there's some kind of malfeasance or corruption happening to allow such a thing to happen. To me, to allow such a thing to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to say maybe a precedent had been set with the game web shops, gaming.
Oh yeah, shops. We know about that.
The idea that a business was raided
again and again,
multiple times, and then there was a huge raid. Like they pick up every single person
everybody
connected.
Gone. Yeah,
and then no police stations did claim that they did not have the capacity to process so many people, so they turned them away.
Yeah.
And then the next day the business was
open again
and operating. So maybe people feel like a precedent has been set and they can try to get away with it as long as they could get away with it. Ms. Nuri.
Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, you said so many, I think, important things to talk about in there. Let's go to the phone line, and then when we come back from the phone line, I can respond to some of what you said.
Okay, let's go to the first caller. We have a number of callers. It's time to call in now, then we can squeeze you in. Kermit, patch that first caller through for me, please. Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM, we're talking immigration today, and whether it's our government policy to facilitate, make easy, migration to the Bahamas. Go ahead, caller.
Ms. Green and Brother Nuri.
Good day, sir.
Good day. How can you be a coming illegal and still claims that you're a Christian?
Because they didn't have the same policies or concepts, right? Like, they didn't think the same way about migration and the movement of people then, right? Like, when Christ was about, they had different thoughts about it. And in fact, I'm only 48. I could be 49 this year. Our national collective thoughts and policies, laws and regulations around migration have shifted tremendously in my lifetime alone. And so that's a part of it. Like I was saying to Nuri at the top of my show, using this Christian analogy may not be the best, because the Jews or the Hebrews, they were a cult. They were being persecuted by the powers that be. And so they felt justified, right? Like there was a justification for them. They felt right. They started their church in the shanty town.
Okay, right. Let me ask you something else, because I know you're going to, so I'll have to go to the next. You ever heard about Chinese demon?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I know some Chinese demon.
Are you talking about somebody calling themselves?
Yeah,
Chinese
in fact.
Chinese demon or Jamaican demon.
You seen this new trend? Okay, you seen this new trend on TikTok called Bahamian Core?
Oh, Bahamian, that black Chinese. Who owned that restaurant on East Street?
Black
what
Chinese.
What's the name on it?
Okay, so there's this like trend of videos on TikTok by a Bahamian content creator. And what they're doing is, like, they're looking at, like, every ethnic group in the country.
Yeah.
And showing how Bahamian they are. So they got a series of clips with Chinese Bahamians, people who are ethnically Chinese, and, like, politically, their nationality is Bahamian, and they are ethnically Chinese. And they, well, mother sick dread. They sound like Bahamians. They would pass the test. If that was the answer to the question.
Yeah. So do they have a Chinese flag day?
They have a Chinese association. And like how they have a Guyanese and a Filipino association. And they have Filipino Bahamians who tend to lead that charge amongst the Filipinos.
I can go right now. Let me just ask you this and then I go on. Have you ever saw a Filipino, a Chinese, a Guyanese, to the courthouse?
Yeah.
In court? A Chinese?
Just the other day.
Traffic.
What's the minister of social services?
Naruda.
No, the lady. The lady.
Melanie Griffin is the last.
Lisa.
Ramming.
Lisa Ramming? Is it?
She's the PS.
No, she's.
Oh, no. I'm thinking
Lisa
Fedra.
Ramming
no, Fedra Ramming is.
Social service.
Yeah,
Fedra. Not in social service. She in.
Urban Renewal.
In-house and
yes.
Urban Renewal.
She had a program about women recently in the prison. And in the prison, there were four Asian people in the background.
But they're there for overstaying and things.
I know what they was there for. I know what they was there for.
Okay, see what you said just now? Now they're there for overstaying. They ain't there for no crime. See, because there was a time when overstaying, undocumented migration, was not considered a crime. So when we use this term like you're in the people country illegally, the connotate what they're connoting did not exist 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's only recently that we criminalized undocumented migration.
Okay. They lock up. My point, they lock up.
You win that one.
Okay. No, man. Ain't nobody winning nothing.
Thanks. Let's go to the next corner.
You win that one on me. I understand what you're saying. I see what's happening. They made it a crime.
Okay, Dick.
Yeah. They made it a crime.
Yeah, it wasn't a crime. They make that a crime.
Okay. Let's go to the next caller, Decrement.
And even if they didn't make it a crime, they said, we're not prosecuting it, right? We're not wasting state resources to prosecute it.
Guardian Radio AM caller, go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green and CA New. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good morning.
Yeah, man, I'd just like to put my input on the situation, right? We will never, ever, 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 ever stop illegal migration because there's too much things affecting it. One, inflation. Two, our lust for prostitution of labor. Let me give you a prime example I'm talking about. If you want your grass cut today, right, it's probably about $150 to cut your grass. Someone who just came off the boat, you could smell the salt water off them, right? They'll probably do it for $50. Which one you think you'd go with to cut your grass?
I could be honest with you. We need to find a tight place in because I ain't paying nobody $150 to cut my grass.
All right, then. So which means that you go towards the $50 person, which is the illegal migrant. Illegal migrants will do the jobs that we don't want to do, or they will do it for much cheaper because we will end up leaning into that. Not that we don't want to use the bohemian, but our pockets will allow us and our lust of prostitution of labor.
I got you.
I'll give you another prime example. You ever built a house before?
Yeah, man.
Okay. If you find someone to lay blocks, right? A BM will probably lay block probably about $2.25 a block. You could get an illegal migrant to lay a block probably 95, even probably 75 cents a block. You might say, well, okay, that's only 75 cents. And $2. But when you calculate that by 4,000 to 5,000 blocks, you see how much money you save? Yeah, prostitution of labor. And plus inflation. So inflation will force us to using the illegal migrant. The economy. The economy doesn't allow us to use the Bahamian person, so we all always 95% of the chance go towards the illegal migrant opposed to the Bahamian.
I got you. You know, I with you. I mean, that's a sound argument you put on the table.
It's just economical sense.
Right. So here's what happens. When I encounter a service, right, and it's exorbitant, right, I say, like, man, come on, I cannot afford this.
You know,
the first thing that comes to mind is I tell the person, here are ways that you could save money and bring the price down for the customer. So, but like, when I exercise my right to refuse, my right to not use your service, I can tell you ways that you could make your service less cost to provide the service and more affordable for your customers. And you know what I meet 90% of the time?
Yes, ma'am.
People who are offended, A, that I'm not hiring them because of the cost, and offended that I would dare suggest to them ways that they could streamline their business and make it more efficient and draw in more customers. Bahamians get offended when you try help them attract you as a customer.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller.
Okay.
Thank you, caller, very much.
Kermit, go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yes, good morning to both of you, Sharon Johnson.
Bless you,
Alan. We don't have an immigration problem. We have an economic suppression scheme.
Explain.
Have you ever heard of the Standard Occupational Classification System? We call it SOC.
Go ahead.
Basically, what it does, it actually classifies every type of occupation that's in existence is currently used in the United States, meaning if every job, regardless of what it is, you could classify it. And it works well, you know. So if we use it in a small country like the Bahamas, and you have these individuals that come to the country and they put classifications, but you could put the requirements along with it. And the person says, we need a front desk clerk, but they need to speak French, Italian, Spanish, and English. And that's not a classification. It's for the skill set needed for a front desk clerk. So if you was to hire somebody at a front desk clerk, say at the $400 and they speak Spanish, you're just supposed to add some more money to it. They speak this, you add. So those are additional skill sets. But that's too simple for us to use. And the reason I'm saying that is that we talk about this immigration policy problem and organizing ourselves. We could eliminate every, or we should say, date or from the job scheme, almost every illegal person or misclassified person in the Bahamas in less than 1 year by doing what we always talk about, digitization of the Bahamas. Because we have 250,000 workforce, right? I mean, that's been 250,000 people. And so when you begin to look at the individuals within the national insurance, whatever, we could classify them. This also allows you the right skill, the job scheme, because if they actually qualify for a particular job based on this so-called SOC code, you would also know the expected pay that they could be expected to be paid for whatever. So we'd also define what is it we need to build this country and what do we have missing. So we have individuals coming into the country just ad hoc. They declare themselves to have particular skills with no type of certification or anything as of that sort. We use construction as an industry, as one of an example. For you to become a journeyman in any skill within the construction industry, I think it takes about 7 years. And for 10 to 12 years to become a master, but you have individuals showing up in this country otherwise declaring themselves to be masons, electricians, plumbers, all these different things with nothing, no type of certification or skill set to match what it is. So in its essence, they get to set the price in an exploited type environment. So the question is, what do? Digitize the Bahamas. And so we have a national ID system. We can basically know exactly who's employed, who's not employed, and then we incentivize the immigration reporting system. So, and I use this as an example all the time. So, you know, Aaron and I, you know, Aaron, you and I working together, I'm the legal person, you reach over to me, or I'm the person who works with me, say, see, Alan, you got your paperwork ready yet? And I said, no, man, I ain't getting no paperwork or nothing. And then all of a sudden, Aaron, can I run to the store down the store to get a soda, okay? Aaron, immigration, this is the address, this is the person's name. Immigration comes by, hit the owner with $5,000, $2,000, $10,000 fine, and get 20% of that, okay? And we enforce the laws. But what it does, though, we would now have to make a decision as to what is the type of migration we want to come to the country. What is the country we're trying to build in? What is the skill set for them coming in? Let me tell you something. I went to a country once to work, and he has the skill set. The first year, immigration was $1,500. The second year was $2,500. The third year was $3,500. The fifth year was $5,000. Guess what the sixth year was, Aaron?
$10,000.
No.
Free.
It was equal to my compensation. If they were paying me a salary, paying me housing, paying me car,
yeah,
whatever the total value of that was the price I had to pay for my work permit.
Because there was the expectation that you're going to train someone,
train,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
So they simply said, good, you know, see, Alan, you could stay, right? But if you're getting paid $100,000 a year, and you couldn't say, oh, I can pay them less than five or whatever, whatever your compensation package is what your work permit fee is.
Wow. Yeah, so, that's, you know, that incentivizes the company to get you and you to also keep moving.
When you have these skill sets, so then you wouldn't have to change. You know what he say? The guy is he has a job in this position, and then you see him again. He has another title with another type of work permits because they just simply kind of change it up. They made up some position for it, and so fixing the Bahamas is not a problem. You know, digitizing the Bahamas is a simple process. We could do that with a fraction of the money we paid to bring those people back.
Okay.
Oh, but yes, what happens, Aaron? When you begin to do the work, correct the workforce. Mm-hmm. The government of the Bahamas has 25,000 individuals in the civil service, not counting the SEOs and these out of the classification like work, you know what they call them, 52-week program, temporary mm-hmm. program, and all these casual worker, all these different definitions. But what happens then is when you begin to look at the whole aspect of it, you'll go back to that study about a decade ago that says that the government of the Bahamas only needs about 7,500 people and technology to be run for the base of our population size. And then you'd have to develop an economy to where these other individuals that now, so we just hired thousands of young people. Why? Because there was no job in the formal economy. to put them. And so what you do is you, where does government get their money from? A taxation regime. So every time they bring on 1,000 people, 2,000, whatever amount of people, where they have non-contributory pension and all those other different things, those are all of those are added debt. How do you solve that? You have to tax the people, because we're not growing the economy that individuals would say it's done. We are literally running this shanty town that you talk about. And we could go into this whole concept, because then when you begin to fix immigration, you must also address the housing regime. Mm-hmm. So how do you bring these thousands of immigration letters to the according to our policy, immigration is supposed to show them where you're going to live and the people who's going to be attached to it. I have know people here in Grand Bahama and Abaco and other places who say, I saw a group, and this is the exact thing. There's an abandoned, practically an abandoned building here, but about 50 in Grand Bahama. They have work permits. And I asked them, I did very slick. I said to them, five of them, what do you pay for your work permit? $5,000, this, whatever. And I says, you pay for it or your worker do? They said, no, I pay for it. I said, so you work for a company? And they all got quiet. See, so what happens is, if they were working for a company, they wouldn't have this crisis now facing housing that they have to move by the end of this month, and there's no housing in Grand Bahama for them to move to, because I sent you a picture of this particularly abandoned village.
I don't understand it, CA. All of these abandoned hotels in Grand Bahama, and nobody's figured out to turn them into temporary or short-term housing options?
We have hundreds of abandoned, I wouldn't maybe say 100, but we have a tremendous amount. I could show you at least 30 or 40, I can send you pictures that I've taken from my fourplexes and sixplexes and stuff. You could say we have maybe hundreds of abandoned buildings. But here's the problem. Those are just not abandoned buildings, because you have upgrade. And here it is that you listen in the House of Assembly the other day. The school says they need 1,800 students coming for them to live. The shipyard needs 1,600 people. I could go through the whole amount of different people, but you don't have a housing thing. So what happens is, what we're having here is a shanty town of thought in developing our country.
I call it an administrative crisis.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. So, and it leads to this housing affordability crisis. It's very important to say that. There is no problem in building houses. The problem is 90% of individuals that want to buy a home in the Bahamas, the word to put, the word you put on it, I think it's spelled F-A-N-T-A-S-Y. Because if you look at the requirements that is needed to qualify for a house with the mortgage cost calculation, you'd find out that you need $72,000 a year.
Okay.
And even if you stretch it to 30 years, you need $48,000 a year to buy a government home.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah, so thanks.
Let's have a conversation one day.
Yes. Thanks again.
All right.
Okay. We have text. I want you to read something. But let's go to this call and then go straight to the text line.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Ms. Green, I call it voluntary imbecility. I don't call it administrative crisis because thank you, C. Allen, because anything C. Allen left out is something he always talked about. How do you document the fraud perpetrated by justice of the peace over all these decades and then allowing people to gain citizenship from a fraudulent initiation? And then my simple problem to all the callers who are dubious about controlling, we don't want to get rid of migration, you know. What I'm saying is, Green, the basis of CLN conversation was about Shantytown. So then why can't these geniuses pass a Shantytown Act and an Immigration Disclosure Act and make them pay subsequently for not disclosing the situation like with Trump, the same scenario that Trump has created? So this, a problem cannot be solved, you know. This is a simple aphorism here. Where there's a will, there's a way. So we can let everybody stay. He's a nation of BS's, man. Give thanks.
Okay, let's see if we can squeeze in this next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once. Caller going twice. Go ahead, caller. No? So let's go to the text line then. Thank you very much, caller. Go ahead, Aaron. The text line.
Here we go. Ms. Green, I would like for you to have a show on the Naturalization Act that our government is using to give out citizenship when that act is only an act and not the law according to the Constitution. So I just repeat one more time. When a law is passed, it is deemed to be good law. That means it's deemed to be in line with the Constitution.
Until
it is shown to contradict the content of the Constitution.
So that means the person who's complaining needs to do what?
You need to find a lawyer, draft up a legal team, and bring it to the court and say to the court, you want a judicial review because you believe that this act or parts of the act must be struck down because it's in contravention of the Constitution.
And if they don't do a judicial review and just talk about it, what happens?
Nothing.
So stop doing idle talk. And if you believe that the law is in contravening the Constitution, challenge it. Just challenge it.
Now, if you want to be a guest on the show to talk about your campaign.
They need to have a campaign first, not just talk.
But I mean, it's about your campaign that exists, not the campaign you want to host. Hmm. Then we could have a show about your campaign for judicial review.
Hmm. And you need to be making an effort to go and seek a judicial review, though, not just saying that it needs to be one.
Yeah. No, the campaign isn't just saying that we need a judicial review. It's a campaign for a judicial review.
Yeah.
So show us some minutes from a meeting or something.
Yeah. And show us a lawyer who you have hired.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So Texia says, morning, great show, but the Bahamas government need to regularize them and tax. I live in Englandston and 65% is Haitian, 90% of restaurants owned by Haitian. You can't find three breakfast, lunch, or ran by Bahamians. Between Haitians and Chinese, shops, bars are everywhere in Englandston. I mean, is it possible that Bahamians are spending their money on disposable personal experiences while what we call migrant communities, even though these people, a large portion of these communities are people who are Bahamian, by not sharing ethnic, they don't share ethnicity with the majority of the people here, right?
Mm.
And so the question is, what are we spending our money on? Is it personal disposable experiences or collective development efforts?
And are they filling in a gap in our communities that Bahamians are not filling?
Right. Are they filling gaps? Are they providing services that Bahamians do not want to provide or are providing them, but they're not accessible by the majority of people in the country?
Mm-hmm.
There's another question I had on the table, Nuri, because you referenced the Trump-Cuban labor policy, right? Why Cuba and not Haiti? Why is the U.S. not putting pressure on countries that are allowing or engaging in the use of Haitian labor given the state of Haiti currently?
Has the Cuban government issued any statement condemning the United States' new policy as yet? We see Caribbean people up in arms.
Well, as we see Caribbean people concerned, right? I think what I saw primarily was a request. So I got an article. I think I got a good article.
And then you see our prime minister today making a statement. That earlier was this press director of communications. Now the prime minister said they're reviewing the U.S. policy. And I'm not sure if the U.S. has a policy as yet. I keep on making that argument.
No, they have a policy.
So this is an official policy?
Yeah, I think Barbados is the country, I think, that received the first communication questioning their participation, I guess.
And I see Antigua has received it also. But let's go to the caller watch. We'll look for that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Reader AM.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Aaron. I'm your guest.
No, hey, Nuri. I hear the laugh.
You know who I is, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I listen to the show, and I am a little bit. I grew up in the Anglican and East Street community, and I see the conditions there. Ain't hardly much improvement. When it comes to the housing situation, But my thing is, I can talk to you in a little bit. My thing is these Haitians and other immigrants that they end up paying like $3,000 to get here, right? I would think that if you could afford to pay $3,000 to come in the country. Some of them willing to pay the same thing and more to get married to stay in the country. So why not spend the rest of the people were saying, do a law whereby they could come in and work through a work permit program, but apply, and then since you get your application approved, then they could send a work permit to you and rent for a period of time, and then you go back and reapply again.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would be the best way to control migrant, but I don't know if the government see it that way.
Yeah.
I think, and then most of them doesn't put anything in the treasury. So that would be a form of putting some of money into the treasury.
Right. Outside of consumption tax. I get the point. If you could afford $3,000 to pay to be smuggled to the Bahamas, right? Can we offer a work permit? Say, we offer the work permit. You need, let's just say you need $3,000 to get the work permit, right?
Yeah.
And we hold the $3,000 in an escrow. And we tell you, if you abscond from the program, if you disappear, if you think you're just going to, you know, if you miss your return date,
yeah,
or you stop working, then you forfeit the money.
Yeah, because like I say, the majority of them, be it Chinese, be it Jamaican, the majority of them paid a lot of money to get here, in the thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So if you could pay $1,000 to get here, then you have money that they could hold, you work, and you go back in your 9 months or 6 month period, and you get your deposit back, reapply, and come back again.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And if you breach the terms of the program, then you forfeit your $1,000.
Yeah, because right now, I know someone working with me. This guy, I mean, he's good at what he does, and he's an all around person. But I just got to find out from the contractor that he's illegal as well.
Yeah.
And so I pay him not no minimum wage. I pay him $200 a day. Because he's good at what he does, and I want it. So people like them who got skills and they're willing to pay this big amount of money to come, then we should just charge them for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Cole.
Thank you very much. And figure out how to make it work.
Is it the individual paying for their way to come to the Bahamas, or is it their community? Are they being sponsored? Because you know there are a number of people who they claim had taken money back to...
Repay.
And that they facilitate whatever boats and mechanisms for them to get into the Bahamas. So that's why a number of authorities are concerned. This money that is being seeped out of the Bahamas, it tends to
refuel the smuggling network.
Yes.
But if we cut out the need for the smuggler, you see what I'm saying? Cut out the need for the smuggler, that money could still go back to the community. So the community that helped you raise the $2,000 to be smuggled into the Bahamas is the same community that helped you raise the $2,000 for the work permit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But let's take a break here. We had our 45 minutes.
And thus you'll be committed to the program because you have to pay these people back.
Yeah. And Turks and Caicos, they say they own the employment. They got brought you to the Turks and Caicos. That means you work for them for life.
The smugglers or like the contract people?
The smugglers tell the contract people that they own you.
Yeah, that's why smuggling is problematic and we have to stop it.
Yeah. We're going to take a brief break right now. Just to remind you that this show is brought to you by CONCACAF, that is having their beach soccer championships here in the Bahamas on March, where that date is? Where they going? March
12th. It started yesterday. Yeah, to the 16th.
To the 16th, right? And it starts at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., the two matches. Don't miss the semifinals and the finals this Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Free entry. You ain't got to pay nothing. Just show up. Free entry at the big energy and non-stop excitement. So let's go. Of course, which is the Junkanoo Beach Boys, right? Anyway, this is Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
Gardner has a new line, the Sky series of porcelain. It comes in four colors, Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Pinder Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of the four in the Sky series.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself 20 every single week. Visit everybodywinslive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio. AM is, of course, is a Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We've combined both shows. We have Aaron Green with me from On The Clock. I know you're supposed to get some giveaways. What are you going to give them giveaways? Some tickets?
Well, I've got three tickets to the 35th Annual Bahamas Bridal Show, Miss Nuri. I'm giving them away tomorrow. We're giving away all three tickets tomorrow on The Clock with Aaron Green. It's the 35th Annual Bahamas Bridal Show. There are 40 exhibits. Find the perfect location for your event. See products and services for your special occasion. View latest fashion for weddings and other events. Get perfect ideas for home decor and discover dream vacation and honeymoon destinations. We'll be giving away the three tickets tomorrow and talking a bit about the event at the top of the show.
But which date is the event again?
The event itself, Mr. Nuri, is 2025.
Okay. Next week.
So not this weekend coming, but I think the next weekend.
Yeah, the next weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Nuri, so during the commercial, I was looking at this flyer and I thought, because it has, we're talking immigration and migration, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Bahamian.
Yeah, he's a Bahamian.
Why marry a Bahamian?
Because
he's a Bahamian.
He's a Bahamian already.
I mean, but why not marry somebody from someplace else so I could be Bahamian and I could be someplace else?
You have a dual citizenship thing.
I mean, maybe, or just maybe it's just the culture. Maybe I don't need the dual citizenship. I just need access to the culture.
Go give options to your children.
I hadn't thought about the children.
Yeah.
Because some people, you say options, some people say complications.
Yeah. Do Bahamian women, Bahamian men desire immigrants to marry? Or you just happen to fall in love with whoever and they happen to be immigrants?
Okay, so like I say, imagine that the thought, like I'm a Bahamian. Why marry another Bahamian? Why not marry into and enjoy a whole new different culture?
Because you like crab and rice, isn't it?
Well, I could still eat crab. I could take the crab and I could teach them how to pick crab out the pen. I could teach them how to clean the crab. I could teach them how to entertain the crab while you let me cleaning them out. I could teach them all of that, Nuri.
All of this gets access to ackee and codfish.
I mean, I wouldn't mind marrying a Jamaican. I mean, ackee and codfish sound good, but what if I want, like, where I want to go to Finland or something? I want to eat some smoked fish.
Where you can find a Finnish man from?
But I tell you, Father Thompson say they don't mature till they hit 40, and Bradley say you must see guy wait till 60. I don't know when I can find a Finnish man.
But where can you locate a man like that? I mean, just for listening audience, who say, man, I want a Finnish man.
I mean,
a Finnish man.
Oh, you mean Finnish like the country? Oh,
yeah, the country.
Sorry. I was going to say, because they already married. They said who finished developing. They already married.
A Swede. Where would you find a good Swede man?
Sweden.
No, but got to be here. Can I travel like west and say, they'd be hanging here?
Oh, you mean like exploratory research?
Yeah, go to carry my rope, you know, my soup, and say, I get this one.
I go downtown.
You could find Swede and Finnish man
you could
downtown.
Finnish, Swede. Russian.
Downtown.
Malaysian.
On Bay?
Yeah, what you mean?
They don't hang out no place.
from Chad, from Gabon, from South Africa, from Argentina.
On B?
That's where all the tourists come in, Mr. Neary.
No, but I'm talking about Seth, who here work it and have them big contracts.
No, they already, I'm sure they already have a contract. I ain't looking.
But how can single Europeans who making all kind of money leave the Bahamas without leaving a Bahamian woman? That don't make no sense.
But it's the point that I'm making to you now. It don't make any sense to me either.
It was to claim them. They come here. It's automatic.
Oh, you said, like, come here and just stay.
Yeah, you can't leave without a Bahamian woman. That's how I look at it.
I thought that's what the tourism policy was, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know when it got bastardized, but I thought that's what it was.
Yeah. People call it here. Let's engage with caller, because I can't see why we didn't have more mixed race people access.
Mixed ethnicity.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
I mean, that primarily.
Yeah, that too. That too. I thought we would more this homogeneous type concept.
Here's a text. If America cared about the well-being of Cubans, they would remove all sanctions, etc., that impedes Cuba from reaching its full potential. We should ignore the U.S. Okay, wait.
Can't ignore the
U.S. I agreed with everything you said.
Can't
except,
ignore the U.S.
Like, we don't even have to agree with them, but we can't ignore them.
But we're Americans, though.
Okay, we are Americans because we are in the Americas.
Mm-hmm. But we think like Americans, though.
Okay, we are culturally American, like the United States of America, because of our proximity to them and our reliance on their information, their news, their language, their culture to inform our lives.
Yeah, so it's hard to ignore them.
I mean, that part too, but like politically and nationally, ignore them.
Hmm.
You got to know what they're doing and saying. They're right on your doorstep. What if they trip and fall down? They're going to fall on you.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see how the Prime Minister responds or the Minister of Foreign Affairs responds to this new U.S. policy, even though I think we need to approach this as a bloc, right? Mm-hmm. Let me read this.
No, I think you read it first. I do think we need to approach it as a bloc. I think there needs to be a CARICOM statement, and I think there needs to be a commitment to that statement. So we have to take our time and flesh out what the statement is. It's not a cut and dry, man, U.S. come from around here. It cannot be that, right? And so I think it's going to take a bit of time to craft that response. I wondered if we were ahead of the ball, right? Or people are asking, why are you getting nurses from Ghana? Why are you getting nurses from Ghana? Did the U.S. government get a word that this policy is possibly, like, if the Republican, right? It's a simple,
yeah.
If the Republicans win, there's a potential for this policy to be put in place. We going to Ghana a long time.
I get a text here, say, CA, we as Bahamians exploit Haitians. That's our culture to do such. So is it only Haitians do it to Haitians? Well, when you're inside someone's country as an immigrant, the host country tends to exploit your labor for mutual benefits. You're here to get a job and work. We want to get your whatever
skill set or your labor.
So that's exploitation. But when you have your own people exploiting you, knowing that they're taking advantage, that's kind of peculiar.
Right. We don't expect you to treat your own people as chattel.
No.
We don't expect you to enslave your own people while everybody are not in their original lands. It don't make sense.
Let's squeeze in this caller while we go through this text again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Go ahead, caller.
Caller girl.
Hey, I can hear you.
Hi, pleasant good day. Who are you asking me to ask?
I guess she was want to talk to administration, the help desk, and get to Guardian Radio. Say, does the Bahamas government get any money back from the numerous Haitian stalls on Calpin Road? In particular, the other foreigners who have roadside businesses? Because when time gets rough, like coronavirus a few years ago, because they look to the government for food, rent, and their children, and some of them say they don't have money, and they have it. They're talking about a roadside business. How do they pay taxes?
All right. So there are consumption taxes that we all pay regardless of status, right? Some of those roadside vendors are actually on private property. Like the stall itself is set up on private property.
Yeah.
And it's the customers that stand on the sidewalk to purchase, right? And so the question is, are they paying rent? Is there VAT on the rent? Is that VAT being turned over to the government, right? Are they paying the consumption taxes? Now, if somebody is renting property from the government or have access to property from the government, they should be paying whatever taxes are associated and whatever fees are associated. Now, what I do know about temporary vendors are that the when I went for a temporary vendor license, the rule was that your operation had to be removed by the end of the day, mm-hmm. and the site should be in a condition that nobody knew that somebody was here operating during the day.
Policing that for like everything in this country is an issue. Yeah. You just don't police. So CA, do you all know that this is what most businesses do with foreigners? They hold their passport and pay their permit until it's paid off. Also, that would actually stop human trafficking violators. But no, you can't be holding people's passports.
It's against the law to hold someone's passport. You then become the enslaver.
Yes. But you know the passport doesn't belong to the person holding it?
No, it belongs to the government that issued it.
Yeah. So you cannot be holding property of the Haitian government and say you're holding it for them. That's illegal.
Yeah.
You cannot be holding a Bahamian passport hostage. It doesn't belong to you.
You cannot deputize yourself in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no. I can police them. I can hold this and keep it safe for you so you can't go no place.
Yeah.
No,
and if you're wondering like what the problem is, you know, all of those undocumented cabarets throughout the country that sometimes use the services of migrants who are on a tourist visa.
Mm. This text says, good morning. Why are the Haitian businesses not donating nor paying off their bills to the healthcare system? Everything is free, like breakfast and lunch. The Jamaicans give and show their support far beyond Haitians. Haitian established businesses pay taxes. They pay VAT.
Yeah. And I think I cannot accept...
They pay NIB.
And I cannot accept that migrants who are using the hospital are not paying the nominal fees they need to access the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
And that's policing again. You're supposed to pay it, and you're supposed to get asked to pay it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. But of course, there's always people who will break the law and take advantage of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all up to...
Mm-hmm. Because remember when we had the discussion about why PMH is broke?
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that they were not issuing bills?
Mm.
And then I asked the question, well, what insurance company knows that it has clients that have had a service with the hospital, and after month 25, after month 25, the insurance company hasn't written the Ministry of Health, the PHA, and PMH to indicate, to ask for the invoices for the services that were rendered.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to this caller quick before we go. Kermit, patch this last call for Drew. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, going once.
Good morning, caller. Are you there?
No? So let's quick... Oh, go on the next line. Let's see then. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Just last one for the day.
Hi, pleasant good day.
Hi, good morning, ma'am.
Okay, so I am calling from Kidney Center. Okay, so Mr. Wilfred Raman, he told me to leave his number with Aaron Green.
So hold the line, because I'm on the air right now. He doesn't want everybody to hear the number. Don't hang up the phone. The producer's going to take the phone, and you're going to give the number to to the producer, and his name is Wilfred Raman. Ma'am, you still there? All right, Mr. Connect. Yeah. I know you're trying to connect with me. Hopefully we could get that done.
Perhaps he'll call as soon as the show over. And we're over right now anyway. So you need to stand next to Kermit and see if they do call. Did you get the doctor thing of name? So you call them back maybe.
Oh, the name of the place?
Yeah.
That she said that I got the person's name, but I just heard Kidney.
Kidney. Okay, we call any Kidney person. Or if they're listening. Be trying to get in contact with you. Call the Guardian Radio hotline number.
Leave your information at the front desk by calling 302-2300. That's 302-2300. And leave the information with the receptionist.
Okay. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.